Hey, welcome to Intentional Living Center. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. We're live here today focused on misunderstandings in marriage, in relationships, in fact, misunderstandings in life, and how misunderstandings are different than disagreements, and how you and I can be very intentional in resolving misunderstandings, clarifying misunderstandings, and helping our marriages be more intentional. And I've got the solution for you here in just 1 minute.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Randy's a conference speaker and coach, best-selling author, and your advocate for the family. Our lines are open and they're toll-free, so be sure to dial all six of those eights. It's 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Dr. Randy, I suppose there are some of us who are so good at misunderstanding that we've turned it into a fine art.
Yeah, I'm afraid we have in our marriages, especially, Kurt, because misunderstandings really have to do mostly with the kind of interpretation that we have or definition that we have about certain words or phrases. And we run that through our gender differences. You know, men and women, we kind of see life differently, maybe from past experiences, cultural backgrounds, and so on. And so we tend to define things differently. But I think the single biggest thing that we do that's a mistake in our marriage when it comes to a misunderstanding, which, by the way, is different than a disagreement. A disagreement is I'm very clear on what you think or what you believe, and I simply disagree with you. But often we don't even get to that point without a lot of hurt feelings and what have you. Misunderstandings, on the other hand, are simply a lack of understanding. In other words, when you say something, it's not fully understood. It's interpreted through the lens of the other person that you love, through their own experiences and maybe past experiences with you. Maybe words that you've continued to use with them that you didn't intend for them to have that consequence, but they do, the unintended consequences of a misunderstanding. The solution here, let me give it to you right up front. One of the key of the three ingredients that I think are absolutely necessary for communication, for good understanding in marriage, is please don't take a position too soon. I think it's very easy in our marriage relationship when our spouse says something, and we've been married for a while, we already know what our position is on that situation. And whenever we take a position, then what do we have to do? We have to defend it. We end up defending that position every day. We defend it in our attitude. We defend it verbally and non-verbally and what have you throughout life. So I would encourage you, if nothing else, as we talk about misunderstandings today, be careful. Don't take a position too soon, because when you do, you'll have to defend it. I'll give you an example. Maybe your spouse has come to you and said, you know, honey, I'm concerned about our finances. And you've already taken a position that statement to you, what that means to you is, well, you're blaming me for our finances. Or if you would just do so-and-so, things would be better. And whenever we begin a conversation with a defensive position, boy, there's, just look what goes on in the world. Just turn on the news and you see what happens. And the issues there, of course, are life and death, but many times in a marriage, they can end up that way as well in terms of a marriage surviving or not in a relationship. How do you deal with misunderstanding? What's one thing that works for you? Let's get real intentional here. One thing that works for you when it comes to misunderstandings in your marriage, okay? 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Let's go.
I know one thing that I would do intentionally is stop snapping at my husband. He always says I'm impatient. We're quick to respond with an attitude, and I don't know why, I just do. So I would definitely work on being more patient with him and stop snapping.
That'll help. Listen, we're talking about communication. There's a book written by a longtime leader in Christian marriage counseling, Norm Wright, and it's one of the, you can probably find it still, I don't know if it's in print, but you can probably find it in a used store, but it's a good book. It's a book that talks about communication is the key to marriage. And I believe that. Communication is key to most relationships, isn't it? The misunderstandings that occur on the world scene, we see it every day. And those same ingredients come down into our marriage relationship. It's a sad thing, and we can do better when it comes to communicating with each other. Let's get Holly on the line in Tennessee today. Holly, welcome to Intentional Living Center.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm doing great. What's your take on this, or what's your question today?
Well, I was just wondering what happens when you are married to somebody who is basically not interested in what you have to say.
Well, how does that come across to you? How do you experience that?
I mean,
you share something and he just shuts down, or what happens?
Yes. Like a lot of times I'll be talking about something and I'm either, you know, there's kind of an allotted amount of minutes that I have, or, you know, we'll talk too long on it, or let's talk about something else. And I'm not even through discussing what I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. And I just think communication, like you were saying, is just crucial in a marriage, because I think it will eventually kill the marriage.
When you say how many minutes are you allocated, how many are you allocated?
Well, you know, like if I'm talking maybe 5 to 10 minutes, and that's basically, you know, he kind of gets tired of hearing what I have to say.
Because he's already made up his mind?
Well, he just doesn't want to hear it.
Okay.
He's not interested.
Uh-huh. Well, how does he communicate? What is he interested in? How do you communicate when you have a problem that has to be fixed? I mean, a specific issue.
I don't talk to him about anything. I've learned not to.
I mean, what do you do when the faucet's leaking or the toilet's leaking? What do you do? How do you communicate about that?
I'll just, basically, whatever it is, I'll fix it or I'll do what I have to do, unless it's something really big, and then I'll just tell him about it, and that's it. Very, very little communicating.
Is this true with other people as well? Does he not communicate at work and other places?
No, he's not like that at work.
Okay, so it's more of a location or with you than it is with his coworkers and so on.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, have you ever asked him why he has trouble talking to you? What is it that he doesn't like talking to you about? Why?
I just girl problems, or if somebody did something to you, it's like immediately, well, what did you do to upset them? And there's never really a time that I can tell him about my day or my issues or anything like that.
All right, so he's a bottom line guy. Get to the bottom line.
Yes.
And you're one that wants to explain, go around the block and explain all the things that are necessary to get you to the bottom line?
No, because I've learned that men are not detail people.
Yeah. Well, some are, but I'll tell you, when it comes to communication, Holly, this is such an important ingredient to make marriage work. I'd ask the question, how is this lack of communication showing up in your marriage? Who's paying for this? I mean, how is this affecting your relationship day to day?
Well, I'm not happy. Not happy at all. I'm very unhappy.
And that shows up in your marriage.
A lot of loneliness, and you're just not happy. Yeah.
How long have you been married, Holly?
11 years.
Uh-huh. Are you going to, is this marriage going to make it?
I don't know. That's what I was calling because it's just, it gets to a point where you're just miserable.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have to have somebody to talk to.
Yeah, they do. And unfortunately, sometimes that ends up being the wrong people. Holly, listen, let me give a general statement, because I can't, obviously, on the phone here, solve your problem, especially if you and your husband aren't on the same page even about communicating. But I'll tell you how you do solve a problem like this as a couple is to say, okay, my style of communication is more bottom line. I want to get to the issue. And I'm hearing you say that, yeah, you understand that and you're willing to get to the bottom line on the issue, but he doesn't want to talk. I tell couples, if you're in a marriage where your communication styles are different, in other words, one is already running ahead of the game and coming up with solutions and answers, and the other one is saying, hey, I want to talk about this. I encourage that the structure of setting aside, I don't know, maybe Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, maybe 2 days a week for 30 minutes, you set an egg timer and say, we're going to sit down for these 30 minutes And we're each going to have 15 minutes just to share what's on our heart. We're going to have an agenda of some things that I want to get off my chest. I want to share. And your spouse commits just to listen. And the only thing they can do is ask a clarifying question, but not to make a statement, not try to correct the statement, not try to, you know, make you agree with what their position is. This is not a time to defend. This is a time to share. And I think a marriage is worth 90 minutes a week where you can spend time in agreement to say each of you would get 15 minutes just to share whatever it is on your heart. And if you got agenda items, you put them on the agenda and then share them without disagreement. If that doesn't happen, what you end up with is what Holly's facing right now. When I ask the question, is your marriage going to make it? I don't know. Is that what we want? I don't think that's what God's intention is for our marriage. I don't think any of us get married with the idea that 10 or 11 or 15 years later, we'd be calling in and saying, I don't know if our marriage is going to make it. Listen, when we take a position too soon, we have to defend it. I think the biblical approach to this whole thing of misunderstanding is what the Bible teaches, is to seek first to understand, and then secondly, to be understood. And we can only do that when we listen beyond our own definition of what communication means to us and allow the one we love to communicate in a way that's important to them. Some will be more emotional. Some will be more quiet. Some will want to do it in writing. Some will want to write it and read it. Some of them want to just share from their heart. But whatever the style of communication is for your spouse, let them communicate and then listen. That's being intentional.
One thing I intentionally do to support my husband is to let him know that I'm cheering for him. I'm his biggest cheerleader. And whether it's work or his hockey games or leading our Sunday school class, I just let him know that I'm there to support him. And I think that means a lot to him, knowing that somebody's telling him he's doing a great job and, you know, that I support him in all of that.
You know, listen, we're talking about ultimately communication that gets back to this thing of love and respect. Showing love to your spouse and respect to your spouse is how you build your marriage. Here's the key in this thing of communication. Whenever we make our relationship with our spouse more important than our own needs to communicate or not communicate or run away from communication or to win in communication or to be right in communication, we can make the relationship work. We can do it awkwardly, and we can learn together, and we can stumble and fall down and get back up and change what we do. This is not about perfection or a checklist of how we have to communicate to have a great marriage. It's about an attitude that says, you are more important to me than my own limitations in communication, and I'm willing to reach beyond my limitations and try to communicate with you in a way that matters to you. Okay, Mike is on the line. Mike, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yeah, I just realized I was. Yeah, the reason why I called is I really wanted to be able to help the listeners because I'm much older now, and I went through a lot with my wife. We were married. Well, I was married when we were in the Air Force, and I didn't really know much about, you know, when she was a kid. And of course I didn't know much about, you know, back then you weren't taught about personal relationship and, you know, and the intimacy. Your parents never said anything, and well, my wife wouldn't let me hardly touch her in an intimate way. Even though, you know, of course we're married and everything, and this went on for years. And We broke up a couple of times, and I filed for divorce, and we lived separate, you know, and then I tried to get back with her, and I finally got her. I said, look, I don't want a divorce, but I want you to tell me the truth. And when she was a young girl, she was molested by her uncle.
And I'll tell you something, Mike, that's unfortunately what happens, and those things that happened years and years and years ago, hang on, I'll talk to you off the air, linger. They linger in life. They linger in relationships. They linger in terms of being married later and be able to communicate. That's why I'm saying whenever we realize our first goal in life is to seek to be understood, then we miss the real goal to make it first to understand. And the fact that you stop long enough to say, honey, I don't want a divorce. I want to make this marriage work. But I need to understand what's going on, because I don't know what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what's going on that would cause you to respond to me the way you do. Now, with that piece of information, that allows her, hopefully, to get some help, and you and your marriage to get some help, that the you guys can work together to become all that really God intended for you. It's a good reminder. Listen, sometimes we've got to deal with the difficult things in our marriage that have become roadblocks to understanding each other, truly, deeply understanding each other at the deeper level. And so these men are saying, we pray to God for the rectitude, the rightness of our intentions. And I thought that's a powerful way to make a declaration of intention. You better have intentions that have the rectitude of intention from God. In other words, we don't declare our intention until we're clear that this is coming from God. There's where we get in trouble. There's a lot of people that declare intentions today that are wrong.
Wow. Yeah, I bet you haven't heard that word very often, the rectitude of your intentions. You're thinking, what does that mean? Hey, listen, by the way, that's the teaching this month, part of the teaching on what are your intentions is the question, and that's taken right out of the Declaration of Independence. Our founding fathers said, after they had shared all their grievances against Great Britain, stating that we are now declaring our intention to be free, they said, in essence, that we know that the rectitude, the righteousness, the rightness, that's what that word means, of our intentions are right before God. So I think that's kind of cool. The rectitude of my intentions, you can go look it up. It's in the Declaration of Independence. You can go find it. You know, we're talking about the fine art of misunderstanding today, and it happens in so many relationships, and marriage, of course, and work, and with our kids, and it's so damaging. I just want you to know that we as the ministry have committed to helping you, standing with you, encouraging you to be intentional in your walk with Christ, to lessen the impact on misunderstandings. We need your help. Just to be very blunt, we can't do this without your help. We are listener-supported, and with your generous gift today, we're going to send to you the all-new exclusive 16-month wall calendar, Hope That Transforms, with my thanks. And for those of you who join us in monthly support, in addition to the calendar, we're going to also send to you the teaching for this month on CD. You just heard an excerpt from that, and every month thereafter. So to say thanks for your support. Go to theintentionallife.com, click on donate, that's theintentionallife.com, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4, and thank you. God bless you. Thank you for standing with us in your support for Intentional Living.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. 5 ways to develop a deeper trust in God. 7 ways to develop hope in your child. 3 questions to ask yourself before starting a business. 4 things you can do when facing health issues and sound finances. 5 blogs, and the 5 essentials for intentional living. Dr. Randy's got a whole bunch more, so swing by our website and check them out. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on inspiration and then blogs. So are you having trouble understanding why you're misunderstood? Well, stay tuned. Dr. Randy's got more for you. Helping you to be intentional for your marriage, we are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. That verse from the Bible promises one thing for you, hope.
God is working through me. I ended up being born again. I accepted Jesus. I just want to encourage other women out there to not give up.
You have your own story of how Christ transformed your life. You can celebrate it and also offer the hope you have to someone else. How? By requesting the new 16-month Hope That Transforms wall calendar from Intentional Living. Every day will be a beautiful reminder of your own walk with the Lord, and your gift to the ministry will work through Intentional Living to reach someone else who needs to experience hope too.
It impacts my life daily. I feel like I receive something out of it.
Celebrate Hope That Transforms and request the all-new 16-month calendar with your gift of support today at theintentionallife.com.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And welcome back to the center here today. We're focused on how to be intentional when there's misunderstandings. Different than disagreements, by the way. Disagreements are when you and your spouse, you just don't agree. And you're clear why you don't why you disagree. You're just not on the same page. That's a little bit different than misunderstandings. Misunderstandings can lead to disagreement and may be at the base of disagreement. But a misunderstanding is just not understanding. It's a lack of understanding. And we found this online from FamilyShare.com, and I think it sort of illustrates the little translation that can occur in marriage. For instance, what she says is, can we talk? And what he hears is, you're in trouble. And what she means was, I want to feel closer to you. And so what he says is, here's the solution. We do that as guys, don't we? And what she hears is, you know, I don't care about your feelings. I don't believe you are competent enough to resolve the problem yourself without me. What he really meant was, I want to take away the source of your unhappiness. So what she says is, when will you be home? And what he hears is, I want to control you every movement. And what she means is, I want you to be safe. I don't want to worry about you. What he says is, don't be so emotional. What she hears is, your feelings aren't important. You don't know what you're talking about when you get so upset. And what he meant was, let's just focus on the problem at hand. And that's what happens. There's disagreement. One of the three points that I made is, make sure that you seek first to understand and second to be understood. And we do that by listening beyond our own personal meaning of a word. Let me give you an example. The word trust, that may have different meaning to you than to your spouse. Your spouse may have grown up in a world or environment where trust was a big issue that got violated at times. And so you say, hey, I'll be home at 6. And on a regular basis, you get home at 6:30 or 7, or you get home maybe at 8, or you don't call to let her know that you're coming late. In her mind, that's a lack of being trustworthy. In your mind, it's just the way you grew up. It's just being flexible. It's part of life. I told you I'd be home. I'll be home. I'll try to be home around 6. And so the issue isn't that, you know, the husband is not a trustworthy person, and not that he's unfaithful to his family, but she interprets that to mean I can't trust him because of her own experience. So the word means something different to the spouse, to the male, to the husband, to the wife. So sometimes sitting down, even having a marital dictionary, clarifying what the words mean can make a difference. Words like family and problem and faith and intimacy and sex and together and time, these are words that need to be interpreted. Understand that you and your spouse may have different definitions. And if they show up often, you may want to get some clarification. Okay, Jay's on the line in New Mexico. Hey, Jay.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, good. It says here you're good. A counselor, my friend, huh?
No, I'm not. My spouse wants to be.
Oh, okay.
And so every time we try to have a conversation, it comes down to, I feel like I'm being evaluated rather than trying to communicate with them.
Oh, so she's trying to practice on you.
Basically, yeah, that's what it feels like. And so therefore we never get anywhere, or it goes back to, well, you're just this way or that way. And it's like, no, that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say, you know, to get my point across, and then it goes into, I'm being evaluated by my body language, and I'm being...
You're in therapy. You're in constant therapy with your wife.
Basically,
is what you feel like.
Yeah.
Have you told her to back off on that?
Yes, several times. And it seems that, you know, again, the lack of communication of of she's always right and I'm always wrong, or I'm always, you know, one way or another. And it's like, well, you know, you're a good evaluator. Why don't you take your own advice?
I've written a few books, and my kids would like to tell me at times, go read your own book, you know, kind of a thing. It's like that story of the two psychiatrists that met each other, and the one said to the other, you're fine, how am I? You know, and I think what happens is, and this is a trap when we get into training to go into counseling, you see problems everywhere. I mean, in every person you're diagnosing and you're trying to figure this out. And we just can't do that in our marriages. We've got to just accept our spouse, the fact that we're together, we're working together, we're partners in making this marriage work. What do you do, Jay? I think seriously, I think you need to just sit down and say, honey, I just need to tell you, this is how I feel when these things occur. When you do these things, here's how I'm responding to it. And if she's in counseling training, she'll get that. I think you just need to be honest with her in a loving, positive way, because that won't work long-term in marriage.
If I could do one thing to improve my marriage, it would be to take the time to listen to the Holy Spirit when my emotions start running high. And what they normally mean is I'm not getting my way, or things aren't going as I expect them, or I'm a little tired. If I'd only take that time to listen, I know things would be better, not only in my marriage, my relationship with Christ, and with the other people around me.
My husband and I, one thing that we've been working on to help our marriage succeed is communication. With he as the head of the family, he really puts himself in a position to be the giver of his love, and then me as the recipient, and that has opened up our lines of communication. It's all about just being open to each other and being willing to give as well to receive.
Boy, those are powerful words. Thank you for sharing them with us. Your comments are always welcome at 888-888-1717 on our comment lines. We wrap up the program today. I just want to say thanks to those of you who participate, your prayers, your support, your friendship. Thank you for being a part of the ministry. Love to hear from you. Just a couple things I want to mention before we're out of time here. We are just a week away from the end of August. And the Intentional Marriage Conference in Albuquerque is coming up November 10th. And we put together a summer special that expires in 7 days. And if you've been waiting, I encourage you to do so. We have limited seating. Dr. Kevin Lehman and I will be in Albuquerque on November the 10th. We're going to have a great day for couples. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, I encourage you to do so today. Availability is limited on seating. And the special summer deal expires in just a few days. So go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. All right? Hey, coming up Monday, we're going to continue a discussion that we had from a month ago or so on the power of faith and forgiveness. So hope you come and join us then.